Lord willing, I will share some things about the work in Romania with you, but before that, I want to share some thoughts from the Word of God with you. And I will read one verse from Romans 8. We all know that verse, verse 28. And this will be my subject tonight, that all things work together for good. It is really interesting how the Lord works in His children, that He teaches us truth and then we grow in it. But every once in a while, He leads us to revisit certain truths and then He gives us a deeper understanding. He sinks us lower in this beautiful and sweet Word of God, that actually sometimes it just gives us a new dimension of sight. So these are some of the things, what I will share with you tonight, some of the things that the Lord taught me in a very practical way. Romans 8:28 was always for me a very special verse, because the first time I heard Brother Curtis preach in Romania in 1999, he preached from this text, and I was a member then, just recently saved, but of a very Armenian Baptist church. And I was told, when I asked the pastor about predestination, somehow in a little group that we had of young people, someone came up with that question for us: what about predestination? And we had no idea. So we don't have the exact word in the Romanian version of the Bible. We need three words to translate that. So we don't have the word predestination, but we have a compound phrase that means the same thing. So the answer of my former pastor then, he said, we Baptists do not believe in predestination. That word is not in the Bible. So when Brother Curtis came and I heard him preach from that text, and I heard in the English Bible, I didn't have an English Bible, I didn't have any books, you know, just the Bible, our Bible. And when I heard verse 29, predestination, I thought, wow, the word is in the Bible. So this passage always has been really special to me. But let's look at it. The apostle says there, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Notice that he says all things. Now this gives us the measure of God's involvement in His creation. Some people think, look at God's sovereignty, sort of like He's this wise watchmaker that makes this wonderful watch, and he winds it and he sets it aside and lets it work according to the natural laws that he put in it, but he doesn't touch it anymore. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that at all. Actually, the Bible teaches us that God is involved as a sovereign, which means He's in control of everything that is going on in His creation, to the smallest detail, to the detail of the fact that He knows our hairs, to the number of our hairs, to the detail that no sparrow falls down dead on the ground without Him, without His will. So this is the kind of sovereignty that God has according to the Bible. I was recently discussing on a group about some friends, and one of them is Armenian. I grew up together with him and I love him dearly, but he is rank Armenian. By the way, when I look at him, I see grace, because we grew up in the same church. We were exposed to the very same, I call now, toxic teachings, and the Lord showed me grace, and that is grace. But he was making a point that God, in His sovereignty, He limits His sovereignty to make room for man's sovereignty, because man is created in his image. Well, in this world there is no room for one sovereign and 7 billion other smaller sovereigns. There is only one sovereign of the world. And the verse teaches us that all things work together, which means that God is behind all things. It doesn't say that some things. It doesn't say that spiritual things or moral things work together and the rest of them don't. It says that all things. And this is such a deep thought to meditate upon. The fact that not just the spiritual things work together, it means that we can see God at work in the everyday details of our life, not just on Sundays or Wednesday nights, but every single second of every single day. All the details of our life and everything that is around us is worked together by God. Many people try to categorize our being, and we're so wonderfully made, you know, and we can theoretically make a distinction between soul and spirit, and we should, because otherwise we don't understand the spiritual death. But I had a friend once who thought, well, his situation was a bit unusual in Romania. He had an option of choosing from 3 jobs, which is quite unusual. Usually in Europe, if you have a job, you stick to it, whether you like it or not. Things are not like here. And by the way, we're concerned and praying for your country. There are 3 countries for which we pray for, and that's Romania, United States, and Israel. But he said, well, it doesn't really matter which job I take. I mean, God is not involved in it. It doesn't matter to God. As long as I don't have to steal, as long as I don't have to lie, as long as I don't have to do anything that would compromise my testimony. And I asked him, well, will any of these 3 jobs potentially keep you so busy to drain you of your time and energy, or make you miss church? Well, you see, we are a unit. He never thought it that way before, but we work as a unit. Yes, we have distinct parts. We have to make the difference between the body and the spirit. But in the same time, things work in harmony, and they are interconnected and interdependent. So, is God not interested in what job I have? Or I had somebody else said, well, it doesn't matter whom I marry as long as it's in the Lord. Really? We better be more sure than that. Because God is in every detail of our life. Everything works together. Everything is part of this immense plan. And this is the next thing that I want to notice, that all things work together. Which means that we have in front of us a complex, multifaceted plan that is so far beyond our means of comprehension. It is just too much for us to understand. We only see things, sometimes we see links between them, but it's like we see only to the tip of our nose, and I have a long nose, I can see further than some of you. But we're so narrow-sighted when it comes to this immense, complex plan of God. But everything works together. You know, many people look at their lives, and I mean, the distinct events of our life, and they don't see any connection. They don't see any link. They don't see any means, any purpose in everything. It's like you got pieces of puzzle from 10, 20, 100 different pictures, all, you know, mixed together. But our life is not like that. Because the Bible says all things work together. They are linked. There is a connection between them, which means that everything happens for a reason, that nothing is left to chance, that nothing is left to mere fate. Right? We believe in predestination, but we're not fatalists. We don't believe in blind fate. We believe that somebody is behind all these events, and they are not just random forces. You know, we have a plan that works together, all things, for a purpose. I was giving this example to my church once, and we were meeting in Filiash, which is our southern mission point. It's about 4 hours away from Boksha, and people usually gather there from both from our area, from the west, but also come from further east. So we were meeting there, and I gave them this example. Think about how many billion factors outside of our control had to work together in perfect harmony for us to have this meeting. And this is so much true now. I mean, I'm in the States. And I'm with you tonight. Billions of factors had to work together for us to have this meeting. And not just this meeting. Actually, the most common meeting that we have in, you know, our everyday life at work. It's billions of factors outside of our control. We just, you know, you cannot control. You know, your car has thousands of components, right? Well, on the way here or on the way to work, you meet many other cars that have thousands of components, and now, you know, things are exponentially, you know, multiplied. Well, what about our bodies? We all have billions of cells. They all had to work in perfect harmony to give us the measure of health so that we could make it here tonight. So you see, you cannot control these things. But it doesn't mean they are not controlled. Somebody controls them, because all things work together. Which means that every person that we meet, think about it as a practical application. There's no accident. Every person that we meet, everything in our life and in their life and in everyone else's life around us work together for that meeting. So it is amazing to think things like that. It is to me. Well, can we make sense then of our life? Can we see a direction? You know, many people, I gave you the example of people that just see their life as a, you know, pieces of random pieces of puzzles from different pictures. Can you see a direction in your life? Can you see things working together? Now, when we're in the middle of a trial, it could be difficult for us to realize, to understand why we need to go through that trial. But it doesn't mean there is no sense to it. And actually, try to think about something that was an event that was really crucial in your life back a while ago. Can you see how that event needed to be there for you to be who you are today? I had a meeting with a brother. He was a former Orthodox priest. Romania is, the great majority of people are Orthodox. And he was an Orthodox priest. And after the Lord saved him, everything changed for worse physically for him. His family turned against him. And he lost everything that he had, all the respect of the people, his position, you know, financially he was ruined. And on top of everything else, he came down with colon cancer. He was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. So they operated on him. It could have been even 4. They removed part of the colon, part of the liver. So when I visited him, he was on his dying bed, I thought. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord called him home. So he's in glory now. But when I talked with him, he was in such pain. Colon cancer is terrible. But he tells me, looking at how God put me through this, and the lessons he taught me, and how much closer he drew me to him, if I were to choose to make a choice, to choose cancer for myself, knowing the benefits, the spiritual benefits, I would choose it for myself. Now, how can you say that? Unless you really believe that God is sovereign, that He sends it to, sends even colon cancer your way. Not to destroy you, but to draw you closer to Him. That's a lesson learned. And when we look at our life and the things that we went through, and when we realize they're not accidents, but they are means that God draws us closer to Him, you know, we should be able to say about the same thing. You know, I'm thankful that God sent these things my way. And if I were to choose a different path, I wouldn't. Now, that's a tremendous thought. All things work together. Which means that even if I don't understand why I have to go through something, I still know that this is not just a random happening, just an accident, just a slip on God's part. Right? That my life, all the events of it, are pieces of puzzles that actually come from the same picture, not from 100 different pictures. And as my life develops, and when I look back and I see these pieces connected, I should be able to see the picture that my life displays. And you know what that picture is? A picture of the character of God. Because we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And all these things that we're going through are actually means to shape us, to form us after His image. Amen. So we should be able to see His working in us and shaping us and forming us after the image of His Son, because we were ordained, we were predestinated to this end. And that's exactly what He is doing in us. He's using even our failures and our wrong choices, everything He uses, to bring us where we need to be and to teach us our total dependence on His grace. Everything, all things work together. It says, they work together for good. Now, isn't that great to know that there is a happy end? I mean, that's something that lost people just cannot fathom. You know, because for them, everything is about this life. Now, notice that it doesn't say that everything that is going on in this life is good. It doesn't say that once you trust Christ, everything that will happen to you, it's just, you know, one good thing after another. You know, you'll be healthy, you'll have a happy family, you'll be rich, you'll drive the car that you want, you'll have the job that you want, you know, all the prosperity gospel trash. It doesn't say that. It says that God, who is in control, who works all things, He works them for your good, which means a good as an ultimate end. He even can change. And as in the case of Joseph, ill intentions for good and for His glory, because we have to have the whole picture here. All things work together for our good. This is what Romans 8:28 teaches us. But all things work together for His glory, because we are created as vessels of mercy to display the riches of His grace. We read in Romans 9. So this is the complete picture. For our good, but for His glory. All things work together for good. Now, sickness, death, all kinds of trials, all kinds of tribulations, they're not good in themselves. Actually, nothing that was brought about by Adam's fall is good in itself. But all of these, which are part of our everyday life, they are worked together for good. Which means something. It means that whatever the situation we face, we're in, it is the very best thing that could happen to us. Now, that's hard. And the Lord taught me this in the hardest physical day of my life. My family keeps honeybees. Let me tell you, let me see if I have enough time. Well, not really, I make it short. We are moving hives from one field to another, and this storm came and we got the truck stuck, a truck loaded with bees, 250 yards away from the initial place, which you cannot open the hives, you know, because, you know, you got millions of upset bees, and the truck is stuck. You cannot keep them like that for a long time, because they will die, they will suffocate, and we are running against time. We had to leave them like that overnight because the storm started about 10 o'clock. So next morning, my brother and I and my father, we started moving, carrying, hauling, you know, by hand, all these 50-something hives back to the initial place so that we could open them. And the hive weighs about 110, 120 pounds. And we were slipping in the mud, and it was a whole ordeal. Everything that I prayed that morning to God, He answered to, in spite. And I got so frustrated. I asked the Lord, "Lord, please stop this rain. You know, it was soaking us and it was slowing us down. It poured even harder." After some time, the rain stopped and the sun came out and it was scorching us. So there were still clouds around, and I asked the Lord, just one cloud to cover that sun. And the clouds just vanished, disappeared. You know, we had clear blue sky. And we ran out of water. I was so thirsty, I was ready to drink from the ditch. You know, we didn't have any food. And after doing all that physical effort, you know, you get hungry and then you're down. And, you know, we felt that we couldn't make another step. We were so weak. Well, my only hope was my father-in-law and a friend of his who were coming our way, but only about 3 o'clock, and now it's 11. And they were trying to come with a tractor to pull us out. Well, I said, at least I have my phone, because my father-in-law didn't know where to come. So when I reach in my pocket and take my phone out, the flashlight came on as I slipped and fell in some ditches. So I am down to 4% battery. And it's 11 o'clock, still 4 hours to go. I got so frustrated, and I said, I didn't want my brother to hear me, but I said, that's exactly what I needed now. And then, a few seconds later, Romans 8:28 came to my mind. All things work together for good. And it was like the Lord told me, that's exactly what you needed now. So, I encourage you to learn that lesson. Not, you don't have to keep bees to learn that lesson. But everything that happens to you, that's exactly what you needed. Because it's part of this line of events. Lined up by God. Actually, I told you about predestination as being three words in Romanian. Literally would mean, translated literally in English, would be aligning things ahead of time. So He lines up everything. Everything that you will experience, everything, He lines up. And it's interconnected. So whatever your situation is now, that's exactly what you need. And this is the very best thing that can happen to you, because it's not an accident. Your Father, who knows all things, who knows all about it, who was no surprise for Him, you know, our Father doesn't know just the things that will happen. Well, He decrees them, so. But He knows all the possibilities, all the possible effects. A cause could have, you know, a thing can go in 5 different directions. Or 10 or 100. So our God knows all of them, because He's omniscient. But from all these 100 options, He chooses the one that is best for me. So this is why, whatever the situation I face, it is the very best thing that can happen to me. Then, the apostle says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, we got a problem here. It doesn't say that it works for good to all people. but to them that love God. And by nature, none loves God. There was no love for God in our heart, for which God would save us or regenerate us. There was none. Actually, we hated Him. Yes, we could have been religious before. You know, I grew up in that Armenian Baptist church, but I had access to the Bible. I saw good examples, saved people. But, you know, I was a rebel. People look at me and they thought, you know, Raul is saved. No, I was not. I hated God, even though I had this face, Sunday face. You know, I was a rebel inside. And you know how much we hate God? It doesn't matter how religious we are. Actually, it doesn't matter how much right doctrine we have in our minds. In our flesh, in our sinful nature, we hate God. We would not submit to Him for anything. We wouldn't. I have a friend in Romania who was a Satanist. And he tells me that when he started reading the New Testament, he looked up and he said, God, I'm no atheist. I know You exist. But You'll never make me bow my knees before You. So that's how he started reading the New Testament, to show God how much he despises Him and that, you know, he's immune to God's power. Well, he didn't finish the New Testament and he was down on his knees begging for mercy. But we hate God in our nature. We do. I mean, we hate Him so much that if He would be within our reach, we would kill Him. That's how much sinful man hates God. Amen. And if you doubt that, think about what we did to His Son. Amen. So, all things work together for good to them that love God, but none loves God in their nature. So the question here is, do I love God? Now, what God? And the reason I'm asking this question is because you have to make sure that you love the God of the Bible. I was told so many times that if election, if predestination is true, I couldn't possibly love such a God. Well, that's the God of the Bible. Amen. And you have a problem with Him. You have a heart problem. You don't have a problem with a preacher or with a certain church. All things work together for them that love God. What God? The God of the Bible. Many Christians today, they have a notion about God. They have an imaginary God, which is part true and part fiction. They want to take only some of His attributes. They speak only about His love and they distort it in a terrible way. But they don't want to love. For them, a sovereign, just and holy God is unlovable. Well, you cannot appropriate for yourself this verse then. Only those that love the God of the Bible can look at their life and say, all things work together for my good. Do I love God? The God of the Bible? Well, none of us love Him enough. But if there is any love, true love, for Him in our hearts, we know that this is not because of our merit. This is not because we are better than others. This is because He shed abroad. He poured love for Him in our hearts by the Spirit that He gave us. He is the cause. If we love Him, that's because He loved us. Amen. Those that love Him are called the called according to His purpose. God made a choice. He made an election. If it weren't for that, none would be saved. None would have eternal life. None would come into His presence. I was 16 and a half years old when He saved me, and I was going to church. I was involved in all kinds of activities. I was winning all the Bible trivias and quizzes in the county. And you know what that did? Everyone else looked at me and they thought, Raul is saved. He's going to be a preacher one day. And I thought, no way. I don't want to be a preacher. But I wasn't saved. And you know, I was proud. I began to look around me and compare myself with other people. Some of my age, some even older. And I said, I'm better than them. So when I got to my Bible reading to Romans 3 and I read so many times that verse, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. And it was like the Lord showed me Christ. He is the manifest glory of God. All have sinned and came short of that standard. So it was like He set up this high standard, which is Christ. And I realized that, Raul, if you want to compare with someone in order to go to heaven, you better compare with Christ. It's useless to compare with other people around you. You always find people that are weaker than you so that you came out better. It's useless. Compare with Christ. And if you meet that standard, then by own works, by your own merits, you can enter into heaven. Well, I failed so miserably. And the Lord, when He showed me that verse, He just crashed all my 16-year-old world down. But that's what He does with all of us. If it wasn't an election, none of us would be in heaven. Be called according to His purpose. It is not my merit. The election is by grace. But if I'm called, if I can number myself among those that are called, I have to live up to the name. Because I was given the grace to become and the authority to be a child of God. Now, as a child of God, I represent Him in this world. Isn't that right? We are His ambassadors. Well, how do we represent Him as God's elect? Because people look at us and they want to see God and they want to see Christ and us being transformed and conformed to the image of His Son. He called His people to be a holy nation. Back in the Old Testament, the psalmist says in Psalm 93, I believe, and I'm trying to quote in English, pardon me, I know English is not my first language. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Holiness. Why? Because He's holy. What kind of ornament, what thing beautifies His house more than holiness? You know, this is why we have to be a holy priesthood. This is why we have, and holy means separated. Separated from something unto something else. Separated from the world unto service to Him. We are holy. And we have to live up to that calling. I learned something when the Lord saved me. It's not good enough to be a little better than the rest. You have to keep your eyes to Christ. Amen. It's not good enough to be a little better than the average, a little better than the world around you, a little better than the culture around you. Because it is not a culture that gives us or sets the standard. It is the Bible who is the unchanging Word of God, and it's Christ who doesn't change. He is our standard. So it doesn't matter how far off or how close society would match that standard. You know, it's not good enough for us to keep looking back and be satisfied that we're three steps ahead of society in our daily walk with the Lord. Our eyes should be set to Christ. That should set our progress. We are the called. The called. Which means a special category. Look at the last verse. Look at verse 28, the first part. We know. Now if we know, you know, it doesn't say we guess. It doesn't say we think, we hope. There's no measure of probability here. It's certainty. We know. Now think about all the things that we know. You know for sure as a certain fact in your life. And think about this verse. We know that all things work together for good. Can you number this verse among the things that you know for certain? Now, this is what we're called to do. We know. And if we know, if we really know, if we are persuaded, as the apostle says in verse 38, if we're convinced in such a way that nobody else can change our minds, if we know in that way, our whole life will change. The way we live, the way we understand our life, and the way we relate to other people and to God before anything else will change. Well, first of all, we will begin to be more thankful. And more thankful. And we'll praise His name more. I challenged myself a few years ago. I challenged the young people. I challenged my church. I challenged other churches. And I would love if you would pick up this challenge too. Give thanks to our Lord for one new thing every day. Now it sounds simple. When I first thought about that, I thought, well, sooner or later I'll run out of ideas. You know, years have passed and I never ran out of ideas. And you know what that will do? Will help you see God at work in more and more details around you. Amen. Because our life is so fast that we just miss details. And, you know, we don't see God working with us and around us and in us because we don't pay attention. So this exercise really helped me pay more and more attention. Now one day I thought, two new things came to my mind. So I thought, in my flesh, I'm going to leave one for tomorrow. Well, don't do that. If you think of 10 new things, bring glory to God and thank Him for 10 new things that day. And tomorrow you'll find others. Because the whole eternity will be spent praising our God and thanking Him for what He did. Well, we have eternal life now, right? Amen. Why don't we start praising Him now? Amen. So when we know that all things work together for good, we will be thankful and we'll be praising Him more and more. We will love Him more. We'll just love Him more. How? By keeping His commandments. Because this is what He told us. This is how we show love to Him. Not just by our words, not just by our songs. Our whole life will be a song. Our whole life will be an epistle, a letter. That everyone can, we look at our good works, we look at what we do, our actions, and we'll praise God. We'll praise our Father which is in heaven. When we know these things, we will have faith and we'll have love and we'll have patience in difficult times. We're not going to be in a hurry to say, why me, whenever something bad happens. There's only one proper place for a believer to say, why me, when he ponders on election. That's the only place where you can properly ask the Lord, why me? We will be faithful to Him. And we'll be faithful to His church. When we understand that all things work together for our good. And something else, we'll be faithful in witnessing too. Because we will be so overwhelmed. We will love Him so much that we just won't be able to keep our mouth shut. And we know that every person that is brought in our life, in our way, is brought there for a reason. So all our witnessing, all our church relationship, all our family relationships will be different when we really know that all things work together for our good. I pray that the Lord will show you these precious truths, you know, deeper and deeper, sink in these truths and savor His great love with which He loved us. For it is infinite. Amen.